to understand that in a way that encourages us and strengthens us to continue in all that you have us to do. God, we just thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen. Okay, I appreciate that. And turn your Bible, if you would, to Revelation chapter 14. We started last week looking at this, and as we looked at it last week, we're getting into the beginning of the chapter. We saw that John now was going to give us a little bit of a prelude, or a little bit of, I guess we described it as going to the movie theater, and you know, you sit down or you put in a DVD and you watch it, and you have like 15 minutes of movies they want you to buy. And so when that continual, this is a movie that's coming, or this is a part that's coming, that's what we find John doing in chapter 14. Because there are several things that are going on. We saw the 144,000 again last week. Today we're going to look at the fall of Babylon. And so we're going to understand a little bit about who is the Babylon? What is Babylon all about? And so we're seeing some things that have happened in this tribulation time. And then what John is doing is the main event is coming. Now, even though there's several important truths, the main event for the book of Revelations that's coming is the final bowl judgments that are going to be undescribable to that final group of people who have rejected Christ. Because the church is long gone, the 144,000 are gone, and those saved during the millennial reign, the martyred saints are gone, and now the earth is going to be having nothing but those who rejected Christ. And when God puts his fury out on this last main event of bulls, the judgment of the bulls, it's going to be unbelievable. Things that we've never seen, we've never understood, or we can even describe in our understanding. So, but we're looking ahead. We're still looking at we're waiting for the main event. We've still got a few things to, I don't want to call them advertisements, but we've got a few things to understand. So when we look into chapter 14 tonight, we're going to be starting at verse 8. Verse 8 is very interesting. We went through all the way through 1 through 7 last week. But verse 8 says, "And there followed another angel." So we have another break in this, or again, another preview of something that has happened. It says, saying, "Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." So I want to look at that one verse, and we're going to now look for a couple others. But Babylon is fallen is the key to this. The interesting thing is, when you look at this, who is Babylon? We'll go into more depth exactly about who this Babylon may be, or who this Babylon is, when we get into chapter 17 and 18. But for now, what we need to realize that Babylon is both religious and also an economic system. Babylon, as we know in the Old Testament, was a literal city, a little nation. It was a little, it was easy to identify. In fact, we know that the scriptures all through the Old Testament basically said the demise of Babylon is predicted. And we know that in Isaiah chapter 13, verse 19 through 20, it simply says, "Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldean pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." So Babylon is going to be as Sodom and Gomorrah when God says, "Enough." And the city was no more. And he also says, in finishing that text, "It will never be inhabited, nor will it settle from generation to generation, nor will the Arabian pitch tents there, nor will the shepherds make their sheepfolds there." When God says you're done, you're done. And so Babylon has been predicted to fall. But this is quite interesting, because the Babylon Empire, as we know in the Old Testament, actually fell in 539 BC. Babylon was no longer, Babylon was destroyed. The city crumbled over time afterwards. And as God declared it through the book of Isaiah, that no one will ever restore it, I'm going to give you a name of someone who was in the process of trying to restore it. Saddam Hussein. How did that work out for him? Where is he now? Where's his riches? A nephew that said he got to drive one of his motorcycles through his palace. He was in the military at that time. He said, you would not believe the gold that that man had as his country was starving. Saddam Hussein was the last one in our realm that we would know that tried to build that same area up, tried to build the Babylonian area up. And so, interesting enough, God said it will never, clean back in Isaiah, it will never be inhabited again. And so, men have tried to build it up, and God says no. And in God's way and timing, it falls apart again. And so, it just proves how great our God is, proves how truthful our God is. And people say, how can you trust the book? How can you just, well, it's because if you go to the events that the Bible talks about, they actually happen. And nobody has been able to disprove it. Nobody has been able to change it. Nobody has been able to do anything different than what the Bible says. And for me, it's not rocket scientists. You know, it's something that we should be able to understand and do. But again, the mind, Satan is after the mind of everyone. And he's captured the mind of the younger generation very well. And that's the one thing, if we don't understand anything through this study, we have to understand all the things we're reading about that's going to happen in tribulation time, Satan is already out there doing to a certain point. He's out there deceiving. He's out there destroying. He's out there trying to get the children of God knocked off their religious trail. And he does very well at it. I was just sharing with you, if you do anything on the news, you'll see three prominent preachers that had mega churches, big, huge churches. Three of them had to leave their pulpit last week because of things that they have done, sins that they had in their life. And it's going to get worse. It's going to continue to get worse. And so in reading this thing about the Babylon, again, in 539 BC, the city was crumbled. Saddam Hussein attempted it, but that didn't work out very well at all for him. The thing is, the physical city may be gone. The city of Babylon, we know, is gone. We said 539, it was gone. But Babylon's system remains. And that's what we need to understand tonight. The Babylonians were of the Old Testament, were the evil, were the unsaved, were the ones that constantly came after Christ, came after his children. And so their city may be gone, but their economics, their philosophy, their system of evil still exists. So when God's ready to eliminate the Babylon system, it's going to happen at the end of the tribulation. And it will be no more. We're still living in that philosophy. We're still living in the evil of that system. And so it's not going to be great. It's not going to be fun at times. Life sometimes basically just stinks, period. And we're going to get hit. We're going to get the broken. You hear me say it all the time. We're going to have those moments. We're going to have those days because we're living in the Babylonian system. That system is orchestrated and empowered and maneuvered by Satan. And it will all the way through till the end of the tribulation time. So what John is saying here is it's a prelude of what's coming. There is going to be a moment in time when the seven bowls are leashed that the Babylonian system at the end of that will be destroyed. Until then, buckle up. Put your hard hat on because life's hard. And we need to remain who we are. And that's probably a conversation I've had more in the last month with individuals about don't let the circumstance change who you are. You're changing. Why are you changing? Because no. Don't give me a because. It's called choice. It's not because, it's called choice. You choose to respond and react to life. You can't blame the circumstance for what you're doing. And so we need to understand that, because the closer we get to the trumpet sound, to the rapture of the we're going to go through some pretty rough times, I'm telling you. I can't say enough to get this image out of our mind that we're in the church and we're raptured out before all this and we're not going to be a part of all this. Very true. But what are you going to be a part of? Look at our world today. It could take 1 second for one crazy nut to push a certain button and our whole world's going to go nuts. The whole world's going to... Somebody hits that wrong button and sends that wrong bomb or that wrong ballistic missile somewhere, it's going to go nuts. Because we are on the verge of a World War III like we've never seen. So what are we going to go through? I don't know. But I know the first church, what did they go through? What did the New Testament first church, what did the 12 apostles, when Christ told them in Acts chapter 1, go into their upper room and wait for the promise of God to come, and they said the Holy Spirit of God will come, the power will come. Acts chapter 2, Spirit of God came upon them at Pentecost, and that moment on, they went out, and they served, and they all got killed and martyred for the cause of Christ in a short period of time. Why we as a church think we're going to get out any easier? I don't know. I think we need to buckle up, put the hard hats on, and keep plowing forward, because we're going to have to live the testimony for Christ, because that's what he has asked us to do. So Babylon is still around. Again, it's the system that we are interesting of. But again, both of them that rebelled against God all through the Old Testament. And so it's interesting that the angel declares at the end of that verse, why is God going to destroy that system? Why is God so dead against Babylon? Well, in the latter part of that verse simply says, because she has made all nations to drink the wine of the wrath of her fornication. So what does that mean? Well, we know what fornication means, right? What that simply means is, like, God told the nation of Israel, listen, you're my bride. Church, we're his bride. And when we start believing and we start living our lives to another God, we've committed spiritual fornication to God. So what they're saying is this Babylon system that we're living in, for the nations that you have caused to drink from your wine, to create the fornication, you're going to pay for that someday. And this is the day. This is the time. It's a foreshadowing of what's going to take place when those bulls come out. And so we're in this. We're living in this. And that's why it's so important that you and I keep our minds and our hearts so close to God that we're not a part of that group that leaves or that turns away from God in our life. You can never lose God. There's no doubt in my mind. You're genuinely saved. You are genuinely redeemed and adopted. You're never going to lose that. But boy, you can really make some stupid choices, can't we? I shouldn't say you can. We can. I have. We all have made some choices. But man, to continue to live like that, continue to just be the one that stood there and spit on Christ at the cross. Because that's what it does. When you and I, as children of God, when we partake in this Babylonian system and we start acting like the world and we start thinking like the world and we start being like the world, we're spitting on the cross as Christ is hanging on it. God says, one day you'll pay. And now I'm going to tell you what, we're not going to be part of this day. But there are things going on that we need to understand, and I think that's why some of the things that we will happen and experience will be there. But again, the angel declares this fornication is based on this system, and it's purely centered on people fulfilling their own agendas. The Babylonian system is all about people wanting the power, the money, doing whatever they can for it, and destroying the people around them to get it. That could be on 6 o'clock news tonight, because that's the world we're living in, isn't it? Look what's going on in our world over the power, over the money, over all the wrong that is being done in our country, in our world. And so we're living in this Babylonian system really, really clearly. And so in that system, it becomes basically so engrossed that the people can be said to be drunk trying to get the needs filled, their desires filled. They could be, and again, Scripture says not be drunk with wine, but to be drunk with the Spirit of God. So understanding what this drunk means is to be fully controlled. That's what that drunk means. It's not about the drinking the wine, not drinking the wine. It's don't be fully controlled. Just like somebody who does drink wine is fully controlled under that wine, we need to simply be fully controlled under the Spirit of God. But this system creates men who are fully controlled by their own lust, power, money, desires. Whatever I want, I will get, I will take. And it doesn't matter what I got to do to get it. And folks, that's the world we're living in. There's no doubt about that. That's the world we're living in. So all of that said, basically, that is basically a me-based system that is going to be destroyed here in Babylon. So when we see that and we understand that, I mean, I can't stress enough how careful we got to be. Because you cannot be so involved in a world survival. We got to survive. We got to work. We got to be around the people. We got to participate because we're here. How easy it is, like the frog in a pot of water. We don't realize at times how far we may have moved away until life hits. And then all of a sudden, how in the world did I get here? What choices did I make to get here? I can't believe I'm here. And we do that. I do that. I won't throw you under the bus. I'll throw me under the bus. I do that. We all do that. We all have issues and problems that we come with, whether it be just a thought process, a habits, or just life in general, attitudes, whatever it is. It is very hard not to get caught up in the Babylonian system because it is engrossed around us. And the people around us that don't know Christ, they're in it, they're loving it. And it almost like you have to defend yourself in it because they're getting the best of you in the system. And so what do? You got to use the system to get the better over them so you have a job so that you're still surviving so that things go on. And all of a sudden you're in this caught up vicious cycle. And God says to John, through John, he's writing this, listen, Babylon is fallen. What that tells me is two things. One is our battle with the Babylonian system is never going to end until we die or until God calls us home with the trumpet. It's never going to end. We're never going to not have to be alert. Saying that, don't ever think that you've arrived. Don't ever think that you're okay. Don't ever think that you don't have that problem. Well, maybe you don't have that one, but you've got four other ones that are on the verge of breaking you. We need to have a mindset of saying, you know what, God, I need to come to you broken every day. I need to come to you needing fixed every day. Because the more I come to God needing fixed, the more I realized I'm living in that Babylonian system and how easy it will overtake your life. And you'll wake up one day wondering how you got where you got. And it's so prevalent that it's here. So that to me is one of the most important things that, and when he says Babylonia has fallen, and then everything that came with it because of the fornication, because of leaving God, going away from God, that's created that. I was going to try to jump into the next one, but it's already 6:30 and I'm not sure we're going to have time to finish it. I don't want to rush through it. But we need to really, today's world is engrossed in people who simply want to fulfill their own lust desires. And we need to be careful. We work with them. We have to associate with them. But we don't have to become like them. And that's where you and I need to set that standard, that example. Choose how you are going to respond to the world you live in. Do not let the world choose for you, because it will. I tell everybody, listen, you don't make a choice, somebody will make it for you. You don't teach your kids, somebody will teach them for you. You don't do things for God, somebody else will do them for God, and you'll miss out. You got to start making choices. As you make those choices, set your standards, set your lines. I had a gentleman come to me yesterday, and he said about he felt bad because he has some issues, and he had to set some boundaries in his life. And I said, well, amen, thank you. And he's like, what's wrong with you? I said, it wasn't good. No, you don't understand. Look at our world that doesn't have boundaries. You think it's a little chaotic? Your life will be just as chaotic if you don't set the boundaries. If you don't set the standards and the boundaries, your life will become just as chaotic as the world we're now living in because we no longer have borders. Borders are good. Boundaries are good. God sets them for us. And that's what we need to walk, and that's what we need to understand. So we're going to close it down tonight with that, just the fall of Babylon. We're going to look at the marked and the unmarked next week as we look at the next stage, or the third angel, as it states in verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying. So we're going to see what that third angel has to do, but really going through this little by little, trying to understand it, trying to put it all together, and realizing that, man, it's describing what we're living in today. Second thing, I guess I didn't finish my thought. Second thing was that trumpet can blow right now. It's ready. Everything is ready. The world stage is set for that trumpet to blow. With that, how many people do you know or could name right now that are going to go in hell tomorrow if it does? Got to be busy. Got to be busy. Got to share Christ as often as we can with our lives. Use words only when they ask questions. Let your life be the testimony that needs to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the study tonight. And God, I pray as we continue to just slowly work our way through this, Lord, I pray that we do so in a way that it's encouraging. I mean, we know that as truthful and faithful as you are, we know these events are going to take place. We know all this is going to happen. God, may it stir us. May that list of people that we know get smaller and smaller. May we know those around us that we love, those that are in our influence circle, that they know for sure that if they were to die today, the trumpet would sound, that they'd be in heaven with you. God, we just thank you for that encouragement of truth. We thank you for the strength and the power you give to just get up every day and continue to live that life you ask us to live. We just pray this in your Son's name.